And here we are, maybe. Processing. There
yes,
we go.
Yes, yes,
there we go.
I see we're live. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry guys, we're a little out of practice. It's been a minute because
oh yeah.
Mr. Right. Joraptor's been adventuring. How was that?
Amazing. So for people who don't know, I was on a holiday to China of all places because before going there I heard a lot of things about it, and especially in the Western countries, China doesn't really have a good name. So it was interesting to kind of be on ground level there, so you see what's actually happening. And it has been a very fun, relatively short for how big it is, trip. I was there 12 days, and I landed in Changsha, which like one of the big cities. You maybe never heard of it, but there are like 10 million people living there in one city. That's crazy. And then like that's with huge skyscrapers, and during night they all have like LED lights, and it's like very, very cool to see. So
Oh, he froze.
What's happening?
Oh, you froze a little bit.
That's is it good now?
Yeah, it's a little pixelated, but I think you've recovered. Yeah, I mean, I agree. People don't realize how huge China is either.
Like, oh, yeah.
I can put it on screen, overlaid over the U.S. I don't know how accurate this is, but I mean, it's ballpark, I think, pretty accurate. It's crazy huge.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it's just the size of the cities and the population. Yeah, we might not have ever heard of a city, but the city has the same population as, like, New York City. What? Okay, wow.
And it's like relatively small as well, but they're like these enormous buildings with like 64 floors or even more, and that's where where everyone lives. And it's kind of crazy, but it was very cool to see. And so for people who don't know, you don't need a visa to go to China right now. You can go there for 15 days without one. So that kind of made it all possible. And I went with my brother and his girlfriend, and his girlfriend is from China. Like, without someone who actually knows the language, you're kind of lost there because not a lot of people speak English. And also, a lot of apps like Google is completely banned. So, no maps. You have to use another app. If you want to pay, you have to use either WeChat, which, like, they're all app that everyone uses. It's basically WhatsApp, but you can do everything with it, like order foods, watch movies, like everything. And also pay, and they have Alipay as well. So every store has like a QR code that you simply scan, and then that's how you pay. So without access to those services, you're kind of lost. So I luckily had some people taking care of that, which also made it a bit more unique, because like we went to another city, Nanchang, and like we were almost the only Western people there. It's like kind of crazy. But it was like very, very cool to see, and everyone, I went to Japan as well, and I have a feeling that that there in the Kyoto, Osaka, Tokyo, they're kind of getting annoyed by all the tourists that are coming there. But where I went in China, like it was not common at all. So everyone was super inviting, like, hey, where are you from? That was then the lines they did know in English. And then welcome to China. And one guy had like a lot of restaurants, so we saw him at a bar, and he was like, come eat at one of my restaurants on me. And we were like, sure, okay. Turned out he had like a very fancy restaurant. We had like a private room with him inviting us, so we could like test the best Chinese food there was, and kind of go to like a tea room as well. Like they have a whole ritual how you drink tea there, which was very, very cool to experience. So, they're pretty far ahead in some cases, like in terms of like technology and stuff. A lot of electric cars there, electric scooters everywhere, and they order food. Like a lot of people are just like driving to. I mean, you can order everything. You can order supermarket stuff. You can every store has like an option for you to order it to bring it home. And yeah, it has been a very cool experience, and also the nature is like insane. Like the mountains that I went to, I did post a picture on Twitter about that. Mm-hmm. Like it's That's where the Avatar movies from James Cameron, that they're inspired by that region there. That's of course like the floating rocks. Of course that's not real, but yeah, still the rocks look very similar. But everywhere is like enormous, and they have like these huge nature parks that you can just explore. And they also made it kind of like exciting. They built like a glass bridge so you can also look down, which is kind of scary at first to but it's kind of cool to walk there. They had like a slide, so you would like slide down and then look next to you and see like the huge mountains. And so they kind of made some, there were some like fun activities as well, but it was like a lot of mountain climbing as well. But yeah, worth it for the very cool view. So I had a great time, and I'm also happy to be back. And always, that's kind of, Luke, you of course know this as well. As a creator, you're always, when you're gone, afraid something big might happen. But apart from Ubisoft kind of shooting themselves in the foot a couple of times, nothing really happened. So
very normal, normal stuff.
Just normal. Yeah, nothing weird happened.
Yeah, no, it's great. We I'm glad to hear it was a good vacation. It was memorable. There were cool things. I have some family that's traveling in. I think it's Thailand is where they're at right now, and one of them got bit on the foot by some sort of bug, and this thing is one of the most horrifying things I've ever seen in my life. Like, she sent a picture to the family group chat thing, and this thing is like a solid welt on her foot black and purple, and she got MRSA from it. It's like kind of horrifying. So that's like the only other exposure to a trip over there that I've in a general area that I know of recently. And it's kind of been a very good experience for them, but they're like, yeah, that kind of put a damper on it. To hear that you were able to just go and enjoy yourself is awesome.
It's still like kind of a culture shock in a way, where a lot of people like on the street, we went to these small villages as well. So you have like very tight streets, and then everyone's like cooking stuff outside in front of their shop, so it's like a lot of smells. And I was not really like, I did not have a lot of like Chinese food before, so eating that suddenly all the time, and then also constantly smelling weird thing. At one point I really like got sick for one day and had to go back to my room and be like, oh my god, this is a bit too much. Also because that's also kind of a Chinese thing, like they over there only have, at least some people that work for the government have only 5 holidays per year. So 5 days that they can take off. So they want to do everything in these days. So you have these very crazy schedules where you wake up at like 6 and then 7 you walk around the mountain. And then after like seeing all everything, you go to the next mountain by car. So you do a lot in one day. And we kind of did that as well because we were with some other people. So I had not a lot of sleep. It was a combination, and then I kind of did feel bad, but luckily after one day,
yeah,
I recovered. But that it kind of makes sense, and maybe I had something to eat that wasn't.
It also just happens with traveling too. I mean, there's all sorts of bugs that go around that are normal there that you're not used to. So, I mean, whenever I take a big trip far away, I'm always like, you got to book in a day that you're gonna feel pretty terrible, and it's just gonna happen.
Yeah,
for sure. That's awesome. In general, how would you rate, like Leo's asking, how would you rate real Chinese food though?
Oh, I think it's very good. Yeah, it's like it's of course like, it can be like very spicy. So you have to, like, if you think you know spicy food, it's probably way worse than that. Even like the things where they were like, oh, it's not spicy at all. I was like, okay, I have to take it easy here. At one restaurant we were at, they had like ice cream, so in the form of sort of a pepper. So for the like the foreigners that go there that can't take the spicy food, they give you like this free ice cream. So that's kind of funny. Awesome. But overall, I think it's very good. Even at like, yeah, and it's super cheap as well. So that was also kind of nice. Like going to Japan, it's still, yeah, kind of the same prices as where we're from, but here, food, drinks, it's like super, super cheap. So that was kind of nice. But I would rate it like 9 out of 10 if you really find a good spot. It's pretty nice. You have like the huge table that you can also kind of like, yeah, move. So it's like on a circle, so you kind of move it. Oh, and now I want to grab this. So it's kind of a combination of everything. Instead of just one meal, you grab some rice, obviously, but then some meat, some chicken, fish if you want that, some vegetables. So it's it's pretty good.
I'm hungry now. Damn it. We should have done the food segment at the end. Crap. But no, that's great. And like you said, it's not been a crazy period while you've been gone. I mean, Ubisoft being Ubisoft, we have, of course, the Fallout show dropped.
Yeah, I did like binge that in one sitting in the airplane.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that.
Yeah, my flight back.
Yeah.
Was just Fallout, and it was great. But I really like once again, and I've thought this many times, where sometimes the discourses online are just so stupid. And one of them was for me, like I still had like access to the internet, but of course when you're on holiday, you're kind of like, I'm not really going to engage with all this stuff. But like the whole, oh, they should have launched it weekly instead of like in one go. After having watched the whole show, I just don't agree with that. And I do think that it made more sense to do it this way, but I'm not sure what you feel about that.
I mean, for me, it's just, I don't even understand why it's a discourse. If they had done it episodically, like one week at a time, I think people would have been upset. People would have been like, oh, just drop it all at once. I want to binge it. Other people would have been happy. And then they did it this way. And now there's some people that are like, it would have been better the other way. We would have had more hype or whatever. Some people are just never going to be happy.
I get it, but it's just for this show. I really think, and we don't want to spoil it, of course, like if you have not watched it yet, totally do. But I totally feel that there are, like when I'm watching Shogun as well, and every episode, you want to like kind of rest, kind of think about what happened, and then build anticipation for next week. And I feel with Fallout, there were some episodes where just not a lot was happening. It was still like very fun to watch, but yeah, there was not this huge cliffhanger. Or I would have, if it was a weekly show, I do think at one point I would have been like, okay, I'm just gonna wait till everything is out, because it's not like holding my attention week by week. And I think that might have happened with other people as well. And then, you would maybe not have the same splash.
Well, and I think I mean, we're talking about Amazon at the end of the day. I'm sure they have lots of data that shows one way or another what's more effective for them. And they've probably found that just dropping it all at once makes more sense for this. People are going to binge it. And then if they're not going to binge it, like me and my wife, we watched like a few episodes here, and then we took a day off, and then we watched another episode, then three episodes. And it just frees it up. So I'm sure they've done their research and just found that it's not that big of a deal. But I mean, as for the show itself, I think they did a really good job adapting it. It has the same tropes as most shows of its type, you know, where there's a character that can explain everything and then just chooses to not, because if they did explain everything, there wouldn't be much need of a big plot twist reveal at the end. So that, like, there's little things that are very contrived like that. But as a show, as long as you're willing to suspend disbelief a little bit, it's fine. The complaints, like you were mentioning, some of them are just blown out of proportion. Like the complaints over retconning lore. I won't go into too much detail because it gets kind of into spoiler territory, but they're all totally blown out of whack. Like Fallout New Vegas is still canon. It's not like they retconned it. If they retconned it and were like, no, all of Fallout New Vegas is not lore, we're canceling all of it, then there would be reason to be kind of peeved, I think. But that's not the case. It's not the case.
The Jonathan Nolan is like the director of the show, and he also did like Westworld. And I just think like the sort of, the Western guy is like the same character as in Westworld. Do you remember the season one of Westworld?
No.
No, you don't remember?
I didn't watch
Maybe
it.
Maybe some people in the chat do. But it's like that he just like put the same character in the show. And it's kinda funny. I just think that for the first time we've seen this world with beautiful graphics. But that's kind of my take on it. And I just that really like helps. That really makes me appreciate it even more, because when I play Fallout, the graphics do kind of hurt me, and I just do miss the sort of the beautiful colors and stuff quite often. And this show just really nailed it. And I think it really made sure that you really see, wow, this universe is super great. And they did not hold back in terms of like fights and
The gore.
I was really impressed, and I love the lead character. I think she's great, and so cool that I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's like I was kind of worried that her arc would go in a different direction, but no, she's still just a fun character throughout. And I can't wait to see where it goes next, and some pretty cool plot points and twists and characters. And I think they did a great job.
I said on stream today, I think this was probably one of the most difficult franchises to adapt into a sort of 8-episode series like they did, because Fallout is so much about exploration and player agency and going and adventuring and finding cool things yourself. To take that and find ways to turn it into a much more narrative heavy series, it's pretty impressive. It wasn't going to be like a walk in the park, but they managed to pull it off. And I think it showed that the concept of a Fallout game that's more, I think, a little bit more linear and more narrative could actually work. I don't think we'll ever see that. I don't think they're going to do the sort of Assassin's Creed thing where they're going to try to divvy it up and have this type of game and then that type of game and all these different studios working on it. I think it'll mainly just be a BGS thing.
Yeah, but Fallout did just become maybe the biggest thing that Microsoft suddenly has. Like, of course, Elder Scrolls is big as well, but I do think that this universe is a bit more unique than, of course, the sort of fantasy that we've seen many times that Elder Scrolls is. I'm just mind-boggled by... I mean, it's, of course, like, easier said than done, but they have now the next-gen update. Why is it launching now? Why not at the same time as the show?
No, exactly.
Because the game is selling insanely well. If they had like a PS5 Xbox Series version on the day that the show came out, would have done even better for them.
I've been wondering about that. I also, like, we did the video on it where, like, one of the things they're releasing with the next gen update is a bunch of Halloween themed items, which is a little random. And there's some things where people are like, oh, it's just random assets they had lying around, or it's extra creation pack or whatever, creation kit things.
Yeah.
To me, it just seems like this was probably something they were targeting for Halloween as a next-gen update. And then they were like, oh, well, we got the show coming out and we're doing Starfield fixes. Let's just push it back and we'll just toss it in. It'll be part of the package. Because it's so random to drop Halloween decorations in April. I just don't understand why we'd be doing that. It's a little
feels
random. It's
like Suicide Squad, something Suicide Squad would do.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, really? Like, they dropped the Easter outfits a week late or whatever it was?
Yeah. No,
okay,
that's right.
Okay, fam. But I mean,
still, if they pushed it, then why not launch it the same week as the show? That's kind of weird to me. But
it makes me think maybe there's some technical issue or something. The thing that kind of peeved me was that the Fallout London mod team that's like the whole Fallout London, they got no communication from BGS at all, even though they are making basically an entirely new game for their platform. They were scheduled to drop, I believe, on the 22nd and the, or like 23rd. It was like two, three days before they ended up announcing they were dropping this next gen update, which is no doubt going to break the entire thing. So they're like, you couldn't have told us, given us an email, just a heads up.
On the other hand, though, if the update it would have sucked if it already came out and then the update broke it. So I still think they should have, of course, communicated it. But
I
maybe
think
it could
all
have
you'd
gone
have is a lot of people
worse
would have gone on Steam and checked the or unchecked the box for automatic updates for Fallout, and just would have kept it. Like, I think it just communication would have fixed it.
Oh yeah,
they just didn't communicate.
That's right.
But I think you're right,
maybe Microsoft wants them to play the actual game.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger thing is they want people to install it and do that. Yeah. But I mean, I think you're right though, in just saying that Fallout all of a sudden, or perhaps not so all of a sudden, has become Microsoft's biggest franchise that they're currently sitting on. That they
probably have nothing in active development, which is mind boggling. Like, how can you make like these decisions as Phil Spencer?
We do know there was like the leak during the FTC thing about a Fallout 3 remaster.
Yeah.
Which is
where's that
something. But I don't think that that's enough to keep people fixated.
It really feels as if they learned this year that there was going to be a Fallout show. And then they're like, shit, okay, let's do the Fallout update that we planned right now. And guys, yeah, please hurry up with the remake.
Yeah, I think they also just didn't expect it, honestly, to be that good. I think they were like kind of maybe braced for it to be like
the Halo show did not do anything for us. Why would we?
Yeah, because that's the
on the other end, though. Yeah,
is that the only other Xbox related TV adaptation they've had? Was Halo?
Cuphead had something, I think, as well.
Oh, the Cuphead.
But that's not Xbox, of course. That is a Game Pass game, so that's why I'm thinking of it as an Xbox thing.
But I mean, that might be it.
It did release on Xbox first.
They might be looking at it and just like, yeah, well, for Halo, that didn't do much of anything for us. So we won't bet too much on it. But now everybody's like, okay, where's the next Fallout?
Witcher, Last of Us, and like those did insanely well, and of course Arcane, people started playing League of Legends and were like, okay, this is nothing like the show.
Yeah,
I just want to do something in this world. But it really shows, I think, we now had a couple of these great video game adaptations. And of course, it's like one way, again, I think I talked about it on the podcast, I said it to you, that I went to like this neighbor party and then they said, oh, The Last of Us, huh? Is that based on a game? I did not know. Like, they're really reaching a new audience. But of course, even better is for that audience that would have never checked out the game to then play the game. And I think we really now have seen how this is basically working the best, because we also saw, of course, the Cyberpunk TV show. I really think, of course, one, the adaptation has to be really good, so people are like, I want to exist in this world, and it has to be, and that's why I think, for example, going for a more maybe linear Fallout would still be awesome, but I do think that actually then playing the game and having a completely different story, having an open world, like if you just watch the Last of Us TV show and are then playing part one, you're basically doing the same thing. You're playing the same story. I don't think that is just really working. While, with Cyberpunk, having like a TV show, just a story inside that world, and then the game obviously still has all the elements that you know from the world, but a separate story. I think that is like the golden ticket for how these things are working well.
Yeah. No, there's tons of conversion. There's organic interest that's generated. I mean, I think you're right. There's at the core, they have a lot of potential on their hands right now. And it's just surprising to see that there really is nothing lined up to take advantage of it. Yeah. Like, they finally catch a break. They were hoping Starfield would be like the big break, and then it just kind of fizzles out. And then they get this huge thing, and they just have nothing lined up to really take advantage of it. And
that's crazy.
It's just
now people are playing a 2015, a game from 2015. That's the best they got.
Yeah, I pulled it up.
That's
the
crazy,
player
man.
Counts right now. They have 24-hour peak of 163,000 for Fallout 4. Fallout 76 beat its all-time Steam record. To be fair, it didn't launch on Steam. It launched on Bethesda.net. But I mean, just like look at that graph. Look at that big old green spike. It's crazy. But it's because people are looking for that fix. And I talked about this on stream the other day, which just kind of really will break your heart. Fallout 4 launched in 2015. And so now they did Starfield. They're moving on to The Elder Scrolls 6. They'll do a year.
It's
going to
be 20 years.
It's going to be about 2 decades. And when you reframe it and you're like, okay, so if Fallout 5 were launching today, that would mean Fallout 4's equivalent would have launched in 2004. Like, that's the amount of time we're talking about between Bethesda Fallout titles. So I think, like, surely
And the crazy part is that they have done this before. They did go to a separate studio and it worked out great, even though they it was always kind of weird, right? Them reverting to New Vegas, because some people actually liked it more than what Bethesda Game Studios did. That must have sucked for them, but still, I think, they take that pride, whatever, like make sure that they could have used this moment to have Obsidian do something. I think, didn't Obsidian say we would love to do Fallout again? Hmm. Like, that's also Phil Spencer. Like, you are the boss. Go to Todd Howard and say, shut up, man. I'm your boss. I can say what you're doing. You go do your own new IP. That's what you wanted to do. But I'm going to take Fallout off your hands. And sure, don't make it Fallout 4, but have it like be a spin-off again. And if the Outer Worlds team, if they started, okay, maybe they would not have been ready right now. Or like, why do freaking Avowed? Like, have that team. Like, I think there would have been a timeline where they could have made it work, at least.
Yeah. But I mean, at this point, I think more likely what happens is either a remake of New Vegas, where they're given a bunch of tools to just go crazy and they try to just do it. They could do a really simple splash screen that would generate a ton of hype. People would lose their minds. And then they give it back to, what's his name? Josh Sawyer, I think is what his name is. And some of the other Obsidian team, they build out a team and they do that. I think that would generate enough hype and interest that it would at least capitalize on some of this hype, even though it's like 3-4 years out. A remake, yeah, I think, would do it. Yeah. A full title,
they
probably
at least know what right. they have, and I think the season 2 is already filming this year, so they might even have it near the end of next year or something. Like they kind of know what they have here. There are of course no strikes or whatever, like kind of hurting the progress. So I hope that they don't make the same mistake. It's just like there are Xbox has so many. Things now, so many studios, and they obviously like don't have the same capacity as Sony in terms of like the quality is still different. Like Xbox has been catching up, but to then not see them take advantage of the moments they do have, which are very rare, is just wild to me.
Yeah,
no, yeah, we can beat it.
And you compare it to like how The Last of Us has handled it.
At least part one.
Yeah, they got part one. They got remasters and remakes out the ass, and they're just serving them up on silver platters because you're going to get tons of new Google searches. Somebody sees the game, and all they know is it's the game they're looking for. They're going to pay the full price, whatever.
It was $7 for part one. People bought that. Fallout 4 is $5 right now. Yeah. Like, they're not making any money on this.
Yeah. Which, on the one hand, I can appreciate that they're not, like, all of a sudden, it's the next-gen update. It's, like, totally different and charge $70
for
it.
No. But I think they could have done, like, a completely new project and people would have still gone back to Fallout 4 for $5. Like, then we as consumers had a choice. But I would have preferred, like, an actual new project and not go back to a 2015 game. That was already kind of old when it came out.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
No, I agree. I mean, I agree. I mean, like you said, we can keep beating the dead horse.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm glad that they're finding some success. I love that the Fallout show is as good as it is because I think we're all kind of braced for maybe it to suck, but it ended up being really good. And now we're just hoping they don't screw up season 2, which they just got renewed for. So fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Yes. And Amazon Prime is just doing pretty well. I watched Invincible season 2 as well over my holiday. And we got The Boys, of course, coming up Gen V last year. So I think they've been doing some great stuff. Let's not talk about Lord of the Rings.
Let's just forget about it. It's fine. Shut up. okay, so we should now talk about our other big topic that's all over our document for today.
This was like the physical version requires an online connection. I don't think that's like the big news. It was mostly that, of course, over when we were not doing the show, you probably did cover it, right? I made a video when I got back as well, just covering some of the news. The story trailer, of course, dropped, and we know that Star Wars Outlaws August 30th. So it is like, they probably were maybe ready in July, but nobody's launching a game in July when everyone is outside because it's very hot weather. So August 30th is really like the first date in the summer that you want to release a game, just after Gamescom. So it's kind of hypey around that time. But yeah, the big news was, of course, the two additions. And really, if you think about it, and that's where I think we can take the conversation in multiple directions. First, I want to kind of give a sort of overview for people who's to kind of refresher for people who missed it. But also, if you really look at this as any other Ubisoft game, there's really nothing special happening here. So let's go over it. They have like a standard edition, which is $70. They have a gold edition, which is $110. That comes with the season pass. They're doing two story DLCs, which very common for Ubisoft season pass. And you also get like a cosmetic pack and a day one mission, which they also always do. And then you also have an ultimate edition, $130. Pretty steep, but that comes with that season pass. And two extra cosmetic sets, and also a digital art book. And both these special editions get you the game 3 days early. And comparing these prices, it's the same as Avatar. That was the same price for the editions. Almost the same like stuff. Only the 3 days early is something they did not do, but Star Wars is doing. People are kind of losing their mind over this. So where do you want to start on this? Because that was kind of like there were multiple things that people were not happy about. Yeah. And I get that it kind of took Ubisoft by surprise, because they're like, we're always doing this. Why is it suddenly an issue? But I do get that people are not happy with it.
Yeah, I felt like I was taking crazy pills when I woke up to all the articles and stuff on it. And a lot of YouTubers posting videos. Asmongold did his big video on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, guys, where have you been for like a decade?
Yeah.
Like, why were you not freaking out about this a year or two ago? Like, I agree. I don't like this. But this has been a thing for ages. Why are we just now noticing it? Like, it was very weird. It's similar things happened with like Dragon's Dogma 2, where... Yeah. Everybody started freaking out about the day one DLC. And I'm like, you are the same guys. Like, I checked some of these YouTubers and streamers' channels. They didn't say a word about Resident Evil 4 Remake doing it by Capcom 10 months before, or whatever it was, because they liked Resident Evil 4. But they don't like this one, so they're okay with freaking out about it. I was like, it's really weird that now we're waking up to this and freaking out about it. If we all want to agree that these things are bad, and like work against them, I'm down, because I don't like them either. But I kind of feel like people just showed up to the fight like an hour late and are now like, yeah, we're mad about it. Let's go. And I'm like, where were you? Like, we were trying to do this. It's just really weird.
It more than ever just feels like people just want to be mad. Like there always has to be the next thing that they like. Yeah. The next thing they focus on that,
Yeah,
that is actually like, a discourse. And for some reason, and maybe it is because it's a Star Wars game. Like, maybe people were never interested in Ubisoft's own IP. Avatar, of course, was not a huge success. This is Star Wars, way more eyeballs on it. And that is when people are waking up and like, wait, I don't like this. I also think another reason that is not working for Ubisoft, and they could have, like, Disney, they... But they did Avatar as well, so they were probably like, okay, Disney was like, okay, this is working, we hear nothing about it. But if you look at Jedi Survivor, they just did two editions. One was $10 more and only had some cosmetics. And that was everything. Mm-hmm. There was no locked mission or whatever. If you compare it like that, it is, of course, kind of a bad look. And that is because we're still in this interesting situation where first EA was doing all the Star Wars games and now other companies can do them as well. So maybe that's not helping. Of course, the fact that there was like this Jabba's Gambit mission, people were like, what? Jabba is an exclusive for the season pass. I think that's great, because in the story trailer, if you just look, you see, like, they would never show something in that story trailer that is like an exclusive season pass mission. That would be, yeah, that would not be great. Then they never do that. But somehow people, immediately jump to the worst conclusion. So yeah, it's a whole thing. I really agree with you. It's like, I was not surprised by this at all. It's also because, of course, it's the first. Again, I really think people did not pay attention to Avatar because the prices are the same. But if you don't look at Avatar because no one did, this is the first Ubisoft $70 game. So then $130 for an Ultimate Edition sounds kind of crazy. That's like 1/4 of the price of your console. Like, if you look at it that way, that's kind of crazy for not even a statue or whatever. It's just cosmetic stuff and a season pass. So I think that is like a combination of everything.
Yeah. And I mean, it just felt like the moment that the story trailer dropped, like you said, there were a handful of things people were trying to latch on to get outraged over. The one that kind of died out, but people still will bring up, is that the main character isn't attractive enough. Or they say that she's ugly, or that compared to the face model that they used, they uglyified her for woke reasons or whatever it is. And for me, I'm like, I don't really see it. I don't know. I guess I just don't have a good radar for that type of thing. And I think that's a kind of dumb reason to not want to buy a game, is because you don't think that the protagonist is attractive enough. Beyond that, like, the multiple editions, they've been doing this for ages, and it's weird that people are just now realizing it, which is where I'm just confused, because I'm like, we've been talking about this for ages. Why is this just now coming up?
I saw that tweet that every time a AAA game gets revealed, there's always like, if a game needs a chart, I'm not pre-ordering it. And I'm like, okay, so you never pre-ordered a game in the last 5 years? Like, and it's like, the charts were way worse back in the day. Like, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I think, had like 10 editions. Yeah. So they were now at 3. And it's just regular, gold, and ultimate. And there are 3 lines with some crosses. It's really not that hard.
Well, and for me, I'm just like, with all this, like, I still insist, you shouldn't pre-order games until you know what the game is. We don't know. Like, this could be an amazing game. Probably won't be 10 out of 10. But it could be a 10 out of 10 masterpiece. We don't know, because nobody's played it. Nobody's tried it. Nobody's touched it. We just don't know. So it's unfair to pass judgment at this point, conclusive judgment. We can look at it and infer from certain things what we think of the game or information we have about it. That's totally fine. But we don't know what this game is like yet. So if people are saying already this is a no touch, all I'm asking for is consistency. If people are not consistent, I can't take them seriously. So if they're saying I'm not going to touch any game that offers multiple editions, okay, get ready to not buy hardly anything. Like, even I think Helldivers 2 had multiple editions, and that's been praised by tons of people for being pro consumer and wonderful, and that had multiple editions. So that's clearly not the standard. If it's like, well, it can't have exclusive missions, okay, that one I'm much more on board with, because I can't stand exclusive missions and content being locked out and priced separately. But even that, like, going back to Arkham City, Batman Arkham City had Wonder Woman locked away unless you bought the copy of your game from an authorized retailer that would give you a code on your receipt to unlock her. So if you bought the game secondhand, or like off your buddy, you couldn't play the Catwoman missions for the whole game, which is insane. But that was a thing that happened back in whatever, 2011. So unfortunately, sometimes anti-consumer stuff just seeps in, and it's been like this for a very, very long time, unfortunately. Helldivers 2 did have multiple editions. Yeah. And it had day one battle pass and microtransactions. If we want to nitpick, like, microtransactions versus DLC, I guess we can do that, but I'm not that interested.
Yeah, it's not the mission. I get the whole mission thing, but it's like, we've seen it so many times. Avatar had it as well. Every Assassin's Creed game And these missions always turn out to be 30, 45 minutes. And they're just extra. Like Gambit sounds like a wave-based mode or whatever. Like it's just a combat challenge or whatever, yeah, probably.
It was even a thing in Hogwarts Legacy where they had the...
Oh, yeah, but that's even worse. Yeah. That was the best mission in the game.
Well, so they had two things. They had the PS5 mission locked away. That was the best side quest in the entire game. Technically, you weren't paying more for that. It was just only for a certain platform, which I didn't
You did see the house, though, in the Xbox PC version. If you did, like, the spell that would reveal everything, you saw this glowing door. It was, like, really teasing.
Yeah, it was like, sucks to suck. It sucks to be you. But then they also did, for, like, the deluxe thing, they did that Dark Magic Arena. You remember that?
Oh, wow. Yo, no. Whoa, that's a good point. That's even worse, I would argue, because that was a pretty big deal. There were only two arenas in the game and then that one. So that was like one third of all the arenas.
Yeah. And that was just locked out if you didn't happen to pay for the upgraded edition.
Yeah. And it was like a very special one because you could use all the curses there without actually unlocking them. So you could be like, okay, well, do I want to go down this dark path or not?
Yeah.
It was a very unique experience. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
So, like, and that's one thing where, like, again, okay, if we want to be totally consistent.
I heard no one about it.
Yeah. Well, like, I remember bringing it up in the lead up to that game's launch and being like, I don't like this. Does it mean the game is bad? No, the game could be great and then also have this thing. Does it mean that the game should be boycotted? I also don't really think so. I'm just, at this point, I'm so burnt out on boycotts over everything. I just am sick and tired of it. I think you got to call it out. And more than anything, vote with your wallet. And as I said earlier on stream, I think the most powerful and potent weapon we have is mockery. Like, tease this stuff, make fun of it because it's silly and stupid. And that'll probably get them to snap out of it. But I just don't see why we should just start boycotting every game when there's one slight thing we don't like. Because in that case... Okay, don't like multiple editions? Okay, you're boycotting all, like, the Rockstar games. You're boycotting, like, pretty much any game that has a deluxe edition, which is most games at this point. Okay, if you don't like games that offer early access, okay, well, you're not touching most, looks like, Xbox exclusives for the next however many years because they're doing that with, like they did with Starfield. You know, you just start to get into a spot where nothing will ever meet your moral standard, and so you're just going to stop functioning and participating in society because nothing passes the purest test. And I just don't have the energy to boycott every little thing. I'm just sick and tired. If we're going to be upset about cancel culture and boycott culture, I think we also have to remember that maybe not everything is a cancelable offense.
I see this comment here from CZ James 20. It doesn't really matter if Outlaws is getting unfair hate because finally Ubisoft is getting the message this way. People are tired of their shit, and that might totally be like a fair point here. I do think though that the people that are mostly like outrage, like doing this outrage, we're probably not gonna be interested in the game anyways. But it will, what we have seen pretty often. I do think, for example, Dragon's Dogma 2 got hurt pretty bad by the bad word of mouth, because especially if you're gonna drop $70 and you see like mixed reviews on Steam, even though it has nothing to do with the game, then that's like, you're like, okay, I'm probably not gonna do that. So it is, I do think this sort of outrage is kind of hurting, but maybe Ubisoft is like, because that is kind of my thing. It was this worth it for them? Is the extra money they're getting for all this stuff worth the fact that the trailer on their official channel is now at 38,000 likes, which is pretty good, but it has 161,000 dislikes. So, and the trailer is watched 2.3 million times. So that's like a huge amount. Like, normally not a lot of people like a video or whatever, but to have that many dislikes is crazy. And yeah, I wonder if this is worth all that, right? because at one point you just want people to get your game first. But I don't know. I don't think this is gonna change anything though. Like, I mean, we will have the Assassin's Creed Red reveal in a few months, or like around Ubisoft Forward at least, and it will have the same stuff. I'm really curious what will happen then. Will people then also be angry? We will see. But yeah.
I mean, I think for love it or hate it, for Ubisoft fans, I think they're just used to this. Like, they've seen this for years and years. And if they don't want to buy the deluxe editions, they're just not buying it. They're buying the regular edition, and that's that. Like, they're like, yeah, I'm going to play the game, have a good time. I'm not worried about it. I do think what you said earlier is probably accurate, which is that most of the people that are the most vocally upset about this were never going to buy the game anyways. In the same way, the people that were the most upset about Hogwarts Legacy and controversies with that were never going to play the game anyways. So I don't think it actually is going to have that much of an impact on the game's performance. I do think it'll affect coverage. I do think it'll affect whether YouTubers are wanting to discuss it or cover it in the long term. But I just think it's really odd. And I think, like you said at the top, it makes me think of just people trying to find things to be upset about. And I think in years past, we've had games that are like the lolcow game of the years, where we have like the Golems and the Saints Row, and those kind of absorb all the outrage that we have pent up and are the examples of everything that's wrong with the industry and all that. And this year we haven't really had Suicide Squad, obviously, but beyond that, we've had like one big mess up that we can all point to and get our rocks off making fun of and teasing. But we haven't really had a lot of other stuff that we can vent towards. And so I think that there's just kind of people are turning into hammers in search of a nail.
And maybe this approach was very, like, not a great idea for them, because what usually happens with these editions, they get dropped around the reveal for the game. So, for example, when Assassin's Creed Red will probably get the cinematic trailer, they will also show these editions. That's what happened with Valhalla as well. And then people, I think, will be way more still hyped. It's new. The trailer looked probably amazing. You hear some cool things. And right now, we kind of had that moment for Outlaws already. And now the news is only this.
Yeah.
Like, they had the story trailer that didn't do too much. Like, it looked fine. If they just dropped that trailer without these additions, people would have been, oh, that looked fine. But now, this was the news. Like, this.
And I already get the impression that people were looking for something, because the first messages I got were with regard to the female protagonist saying that she was ugly and that this was an example of Sweet Baby Inc. getting involved and all this. Even though at this point, I don't think there's any evidence that they're involved with this. But I think that there were already people looking for reasons to be upset with this game, and they found. They were the hammer, and they found the nail eventually in the form of the multiple editions.
One more thing.
Fine. I was just going to say thank you for the €5 super chat. And nobody's defending performance issues. I said if you have problems running Dragon's Dogma 2, you shouldn't buy it. So I'm not sure who you're talking to, but yeah. No, you're.
I mean, maybe it was my comment about the mixed things on Steam that was, of course, that also kind of had to do with the performance issues, not only made the microtransactions.
The performance issues were absolutely a valid thing to not want to support the game.
You talked about them, like, you showed a lot in your review. So
and I was like, yeah, if this is something that you have a low tolerance for, don't touch it. Absolutely. I thought the people freaking out over the day one DLC for that, but not bringing it up for Resident Evil 4 Remake months before, I thought that was certainly hypocritical.
Yeah, that's weird.
And
yeah,
that's super weird. Mia, thank you also for the $5 super chat. What was each of your hardest moments during your first year-ish of streaming and how you overcome it?
Whoa. First year of streaming. I think it was mostly, I think, technical things. Like, there always something would break, or you would not hear any audio, or your mic would be kind of over the top. So kind of like small things that I think, especially when you start streaming, you kind of forget that there are also like a lot of technical things that you have to worry about. Damn, I have to think about actual things that happened during the stream, though. I don't know.
I don't know. For me, it was just trying to find ways to fill dead air and to stay interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, it just clicked when I decided to embrace my ADHD and just float from topic to topic, thing to thing, and just stumble my way through. Kind of like in pinball, just bouncing off the walls. That's how I do it.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm not saying different communities. I'm saying the actual content creators covering it, Reinhardt. But anyway, it has nothing to do with.
But yeah, thanks for the super chats. I want to say two final things for the additions, and then move on to something related that I also think, if I look at the comments from these Star Wars trailers, it might actually be that the dislike ratio is linked to something else Ubisoft said. But real quick about the additions, I think one trend that I'm not really liking is the fact that they are not deals anymore. So first, if you would get a gold edition, you would pay $30 more than the regular edition. And then, you would have the season pass as well. And the season pass is also always $40 because the expansions are probably, one is maybe 15, the other 25. So then with the season pass, you have like a $10 deal or whatever. But now if you buy the gold edition, you basically have no reason to immediately buy it. What actually is even worse, or like that you really have to think of if you want to get the DLCs eventually, usually the season pass for Ubisoft games goes on sale before the first DLC drops. I see that sometimes. I'm like, what? So the and also the Ultimate Edition is $20 more for basically two cosmetic packs that I think will be $10 each. So what is the deal you're getting from an edition? These editions used to be like a deal, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, but what they are doing here, they're using the play early, the 3 days early, as the deal. Like, that's the only unique thing that you're getting with these editions that you're actually, saving money on, or quote unquote. So basically, the moment the game comes out, there's really no reason to get the gold or ultimate edition because you can probably get those things separately as well. And I think it kind of sucks, like with the 3 days early access. I love that sort of stuff. I'm a sucker for it. That's why all these companies do it, of course. Like, if I can play a game early, I will be there. But now you have to pay $40 more for that. I really think Ubisoft, if they want to continue this, should just do like a $10 extra edition where it's like, okay, this is the early access edition, maybe with like a cosmetic set, and that's it. Otherwise, you're kind of forcing people, because that's I think also what kind of has people not happy, that the first edition is immediately $110. That's like a lot of money.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would love for this stuff to become anathema, for us to all rally together and agree that, like, having 3, 4, 5, 6 editions of games that are launching, and they're trying to push you into pre-ordering it by having play early access and all this stuff. I'm like, it just drives me up the wall and crazy. And I would like us all to come together. I don't think it'll stop. I mean, I think Game Pass's monetization is based around not just the subscriptions, but also selling you early access. So I think Xbox is going to keep doing this. As for Ubisoft, their costs are so freaking high. I don't think they can break even unless they have things like this. So I think even if they're getting negative press, they'll still do it. Because at the end of the day, again, the average consumer, or rather the average gamer that's buying this in the realm of hundreds of thousands of copies or millions of copies, they're not like us. Like, they're not on streams talking about video games on a Monday. They're not hanging out reading all these news articles. They just go into Best Buy or GameStop, whatever, or they check the dashboard and they see the advertisement for the new game. They're like, oh, that looks good. And they buy it. I'm like, oh, the cool cosmetics and the season pass. Yeah, I'll get that, because sure, I love Star Wars. And they buy it. That's Ubisoft's primary target. That's where most of the money comes from. Unfortunately, we are in many ways a very vocal minority when it comes to these big AAA games, especially with licensed IP. So I don't think Ubisoft's going to do anything other than perhaps be a little bit more coy with reveals.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think we probably see with Assassin's Creed, they probably do like the initial announcement and then a story announcement. And then they do like later subtle announcements of the multiple editions and the pre-order stuff. And they open pre-orders a month after the announcement or something like that, just so they can maybe avoid the big wave of outrage.
Yeah, they are looking at this. I do think this was kind of a surprise for them that it took this approach, because again, for them, they're like, we always do this. What's different? But yeah, we will see. It will be interesting to see what they take away from it. But again, another thing that really, that did not help this announcement. It was like really back to back. Was the crew, of course. I think you discussed it already as well, right? That the crew, the servers are now closed, and instead of that just being the thing, they're also basically removing the game and revoking the user license from people who bought the game. And I made a tweet about this, because this was another one where I was like, okay, what is the difference? I get that people are kind of scared that this will be the new norm, that companies can just say, hey, and you now don't own the game anymore. No, you paid us money, it's not yours anymore. But this game was not playable even if you still owned it. It's like any other online game, and it's really sad to see for game preservation, and we don't want this. We want every game to work. But that's sadly not how this worked. And it's not like the crew doesn't have a sequel and another sequel that you can also play. And I looked at the Steam database numbers, because if I have to believe the internet with this news, everyone played the crew. In March, the peak on Steam was around the 40 people that still played the first game.
Watch out, Suicide Squad. We got another player in town.
No, but like everyone suddenly started acting as if they were the biggest The Crew 1 fan, and they planned to go back to that game. They were still hopping on with friends every now and then, which is just not the case.
I mean, I think the primary frustration, and the reason why I got pretty peeved at this, is because, well, kind of twofold. For one, we've heard discussions and debates over this for a long time of people like, digital media sucks because there's the potential that companies could just revoke licenses to things that you purchased. And people were always like, I guess technically that's possible, but it's not going to really happen. It's whatever. And then this is an example of it very clearly happening. And I understand people weren't playing it in droves or whatever, but the problem is that you bought a product that you don't have a say in. It. You cannot access anymore. So whether it's like, you know, it might maybe compare it to like buying a digital copy of a movie. So like you buy a copy of The Hobbit, and it sits in your Amazon Prime library, whatever. But I haven't watched that movie in a decade. I still should own it, and you shouldn't be able to just take it away from me, even though I wasn't touching it. And in the case of video games, you know, there's other things like server infrastructure. They have to pay to maintain that. There's things like that. But my frustration is that I don't think it should be tolerated that you could spend real money for a product, and eventually, after a certain period of time has gone by, you just lose it. What I think the standard should be is that these companies should have peer-to-peer or like local hosting for server stuff. So if you want to play with your friends, I'll host the server. I'll host it on my computer, and we'll just, you direct into me, and we'll play that way. Lots of old school games have that. That's all they would need to do. And then you don't have to unlist it or anything else. What it seems like is also part of what's going on here specifically, though, that makes it much more complicated, is that it wasn't just server stuff. It seems like there were licensing issues. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this lands right about on the 10-year anniversary of the game, or close to it. And I would guess that they probably had deals for like Lamborghini, where they signed deals for 10 years. And they're like, yeah, in 10 years, nobody's going to play it. We'll just shut the game down. It's whatever. And I think they intentionally signed contracts for licensing these vehicles with that understanding, and then they hit this date and now the game has to just go away. I still don't think that that should be tolerated. What I would hope for is that there's some sort of regulatory or legal protection for digital assets and things that you purchase. Because I just personally don't think it's acceptable that you purchase something and just have it arbitrarily taken away because they didn't think forward enough with their licensing agreements or this or that. And if they can't do that, refund me.
I totally get that. My point mostly is, how is this different from any free-to-play game that people could have spent hundreds of dollars on, that probably more people were still actively playing than the crew, that would also shut down?
Well, I think free-to-play, if you didn't pay for it, then it sucks.
I mean, you paid maybe a monthly subscription. You bought the mount. You bought the house.
Well,
you spent way more money on it.
I think and this is, you know, a very important conversation to have, because I think it is a gray area, because subscriptions, you're paying for a service that takes a month usually to take place. What? Yes. Yes. I don't know, salad or something. Or factor. I'm sorry. We're I don't know. But like with all this, my wife is very sweetly talking to me, but I have headphones on, so I can't really hear her. But with all this, like, I think subscriptions are for a set period of time. You're paying for a service that takes place over a period of time. Once that's over, who cares? Whatever, it's gone. I'm not going to be upset that after I spent $10 on Netflix for a month, or 15, whatever it is now, that after that month is over, if they cancel my account or something, I'm like, yeah, well, I wasn't paying for it, so whatever. As for microtransactions, I think there is a valid question of, like, if you spend $1,000 in skins for Fortnite and one day Fortnite shuts down, or like maybe a better example is you spend a ton of money on skins for Overwatch 1 and then Blizzard comes out with Overwatch 2. And let's say they just cancel all of it. All your skins go away, but they're still available for purchase in Overwatch 2 that they launch, and you can buy it there all over again. I don't see how that should be allowed. Like, that seems to me not just unethical, but it seems like there should be some sort of protection for consumers against that. And right now there are no protections because the regulations are designed by like 70-year-old people who have never touched a computer. But I still think that if you bought skins for a live service game and you're going to shut down the live service game, I would personally be more comfortable if there was some sort of refund policy where when the live service game goes belly up, like say for Suicide Squad, all these people that spent $200-$300 on skins, if they're going to shut down Suicide Squad at the end of this year, I think those people should be entitled to a refund at that point because they can't use the thing they bought. I understand why people might not want to do that, or why companies wouldn't want that. But I would say that's not my problem. Maybe don't sell me something if you don't know if I'm going to get to keep it.
I totally get it, and I get the free to play. I mean, I still think it's kind of similar in a way, because yeah, you're paying probably way more money than what people did on the crew. I'm just saying that this is not the first time it happened. Like, we have like Friday the 13th. I'm like looking at like a list of games that also got delisted. You could also not play that anymore even if you bought it. So there are many paid games that had this as well, that probably more people played and were not 10 years old, where this happened to as well.
Oh, and I see what you mean. Yeah. I think without a doubt, there's a treatment that Ubisoft gets that a lot of other companies get away with. Evolve's a great example of a game that was like, I think it was full price, if I remember correctly.
Oh yeah.
And that imploded, had tons of crazy DLC and monetized out the ass and completely shut down. Like, Evolve also got a lot of flack, but the entire thing imploded. So there wasn't really anybody could point to. But I do agree that, like, to a certain extent, some companies can get away with this that others can't. Like, Activision has been getting away with egregious monetization for so long. And people might like be upset about it, but it's Call of Duty. What do you expect? We just talked today about an $80 gauntlet. You have to buy like four different packs for all the skins of it. It's $80 to get the whole thing. And that's just something Activision casually did. And there's not calls for Call of Duty to be canceled or boycotted or anything. Everybody's like, oh, well, it's Activision, though. So there is a certain special treatment that Ubisoft gets, certainly. And while I can acknowledge that, I also don't think that that necessarily changes any of the broader discourse. I think these rules should apply to Call of Duty. They should apply to The Crew. They should apply to all of these games. Just because I think at this point, these companies are taking advantage of a lack of regulation and oversight to the point where they'll sell you a product and then take it away from you later when they decide it's not profitable enough. And in any other industry, that would be seen as totally unacceptable. But in gaming, we're just used to it.
Yeah. No, I get it. Like, I just don't get why Ubisoft did this. Like, they must have known, hopefully, that this would have caused a lot of bad PR, and nothing really changed. If they just shut down the Crew servers, nobody would have cared.
I really think it's licensing. The fact that in their explanation they say that.
Oh, but that's the reason why they're doing it. So that makes it like it would probably have cost them a lot of money to keep this game around that only 40 people played.
Yeah.
Like, I think it made sense for them to do it. Oh, you also think that they're delisting it because of the licensing, even though people could not boot up the game anymore.
Yeah, well, because a lot of these contracts, whenever you license anything, like I licensed some music a while back for a project I was working on. And as part of that, it said specifically when the license expires, you cannot sell, distribute anything. And usually the verbiage of distribute means having it on a platform where people can do it.
No, that makes sense.
So if their license included verbiage of you cannot distribute The Crew once the license for Lamborghini or whatever expires, they would have to delist it. Because even if it was on their platform and you could download it because you already owned it, that still counts as distributing it to people.
You boot up the game and the splash screen still has a Lamborghini or whatever on it. So maybe that also...
And I mean, it might be one of those things. If 40 people are playing it and they're looking at it, they're like, 40 people, for us to have a team go in there and cut out all Lamborghini cars, all the Ferrari, whatever.
It would not have been worth it. Yeah. But that does make it extra kind of crazy that I don't think they would have done it maybe a different way, but it is... I don't know. I think it's like an interesting discussion because I do agree it would be way better if we could still play all these older games, but that has never been a reality. It's not like a new thing this year. So that's why, just like with the Star Wars Outlaws thing, I'm just kind of surprised that, and it's crazy. Like, it's really, even on the Star Wars account on YouTube, like, the dislikes for the Outlaws trailers are insane, and everyone is talking about the fact, oh, if I can't own my game, I'm gonna pirate them, and like, it's all about the Crew stuff.
I think there were multiple things that stacked at the same time. I do think a lot of those people that are disliking it are not, they're not, like they were never gonna buy the game anyway. So I don't think they're necessarily the target audience. On the TikTok, I got recommended a TikTok ad while I was scrolling one day that was for Star Wars Outlaws, and it had like 120 something thousand likes on it, but the comments were all like, wow, the protagonist is ugly and stuff like that. So I think there is a community that's interested in the game. I just think that there's a very vocal group of people that has picked as their target. And maybe the lesson for Ubisoft is just, you can't get away with what you used to get away with, and maybe you can't even get away with what other companies in a similar position are doing.
Yeah.
Just because the audience, for better or worse, is demanding more from them.
And maybe don't do it when you plan to launch a story trailer for your new game.
Yeah, like, separate it out.
Yeah. Because, if they would do it, like, people have a short attention span. This was like a back-to-back thing. But okay, we kind of covered that. I think we're both kind of on the same page. We would have loved to see things differently, but this is how things have been. Mostly talking about the Star Wars Outlaws thing. We will see. I think it will be interesting to see if they take any learnings from this. But yeah.
It's going to be really fascinating to see how they handle the Assassin's Creed Red announcement in light of all this, because they have a lot riding scared. On that. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot riding on it. And they get, like, Valhalla had no... It had, like, the gameplay trailer sort of thing. Remember that? Where it was, like, gameplay trailer, and we just saw, like, a camera zooming in and out on Eivor and no real gameplay. That was kind of the thing that people did not like. But apart from that, it was a pretty smooth marketing campaign.
Ubisoft has such a reputation problem, and I don't know how they're going to dig themselves out of it, because at this point people start, like, the old thing I used to do in the skeptical look videos. It's like, if you imagine the spectrum, and in the middle you have zero, somebody just is totally apathetic towards the game, doesn't care one way or the other. And then on one end of the extreme, you have people that are, oh, I'm in, I'm going to buy this, pre-order it, all that, deluxe edition, whatever. And then on the far end, you have people, I'm going to boycott this, and I'm going to let everybody know I'm going to hate on this game. I loathe it. And most people start with a lot of games in the dead center. Apathetic, convince me either way. With Ubisoft, people start pretty heavily into the negative. People start with the assumption that this is probably going to be overpriced garbage. And it takes a lot to pull them back over across center line. And they got to overcome that, I think, by being, like, making it clear that they have a new approach to be pro-consumer, that they are focusing on quality over quantity and all these things. But as far as we know, those are not the priorities. And that's not what they're trying to do. And
when they do, they have Prince of Persia and no one cares. So it's like,
yeah, well, and that's the other thing is, like, they do it with a small spin-off style game. And then when it,
like,
really counts,
EA
with
as
stuff,
well.
Yeah.
Right. They're doing the EA originals. And then on the other hand, they have FIFA where they, or EA Sports FC, where they do gambling stuff. I see someone ask here if we have some happy news.
I do. I've got two pieces of happy news.
Okay, let's go over that.
Two pieces.
I see James asking here as well, are you covering Stellar Blade? Yes, I'm playing it. And that's all I can say.
Ooh.
So we will do videos on it.
You don't have to say anything, but does it have you bouncing with joy?
Yes. Like, the demo had me bouncing with joy.
Yeah. Does it jiggle any thoughts of games long past? Okay, I'll stop. Okay, anyway, fun news. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
60 frames per second.
Oh, baby.
There's a new meaning in that game.
Jesus Christ. Physics simulations, crazy.
Yeah.
So they announced the sequel to the 2018 cult classic RPG, Kingdom Come Deliverance. We're getting a sequel. The response to this has been like the actual polar opposite of the response to Star Wars Outlaws. People just glowing, people super thrilled. You can see the passion in the team. People are really excited. And I'm excited. We actually did a Luke Stevens Live clip reacting to it. And we got the one and only Hans coming over into chat to talk with us, which was super cool. So they're actually engaged with it. Thank you, my babe. Wow. And
he's getting some nice meal
delivered
straight to his desk.
Factor, I'll tell you what, Factor's great. And the wife is also great too. Yeah. it's exactly what I was hoping for. It seems to be just a Kingdom Come Deliverance with all the knobs cranked and turned up, and that's exactly what I was hoping for. So I don't know. Have you checked it out? Are you interested?
I think the fact that it's launching this year is like a nice surprise in a year where we're kind of like wondering what's next. But on the other hand, though, like really looking at it, of course, not everything has been officially confirmed. But I think we can say with the Elden Ring DLC, the Dragon Age Dreadwolf that is seemingly launching, Assassin's Creed Red, Black Myth Wukong, and this, we have some really great RPGs still this year. So that's kind of nice. Two times the size of the first game. That's kind of scary, but pretty great. And a straight up sequel. But even if you have not played the first game, it should still be accessible. So I'm curious. I think this could totally be a nice win for them and for Embracer, who needs it.
Desperately.
Well. Yeah.
It seems like I don't think this is going to be if people are expecting it to be like a Rockstar level medieval game, Don't expect that. Like, play the first game and then just imagine the first game, but bigger. And if you do that, I think you'll be in for a good time with this. Kingdom Come is very notoriously clunky. It's kind of weird. It's not for the faint of heart. It's really hardcore. If you don't know what I mean by that, I'm just going to say save your schnapps, and that should fill in the blanks for you. They're very unforgiving, but that's part of what allows you to be immersed and take the world seriously, but it's not for everybody. But I love it. I love it. I think it's great. And I am giddy with anticipation, and I think it's looking like it could be really, really cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Same. I think they do want to make this a bit more accessible with the combat, but still, of course, like they kind of went with the, in their presentation, the easy to learn, hard to master. They did not say that, but that's kind of what they were getting at. There are ranged weapons now, early gunpowder weapons as well. I think, like, we did not hear a release date yet. For me, that's really where it comes down to. Like, if it's launching, like, in a nice spot where not a lot of other big games are coming out, then I will totally give it a shot.
Yeah. Another piece of good news that I will mention before we wrap this up is one that I'm particularly excited for as a fan of this franchise, and that is that there are rumors that 2K is gearing up for a Mafia announcement. And this comes from Kurakasis, who is a user on X and has previously reported some stuff very accurately, said that was able to accurately predict the name of Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra, which is not an easy one to guess. Marvel's rivals.
I think they're going into the back end from like websites or whatever.
Something like that. But they tend to know what they're doing, and they tend to get this right. Even accurately predicting that Take-Two studio Ghost Story Games was planning a Judas reveal several weeks before the trailer was released.
Yeah.
So this individual came out and said, "I can tell you that a few days ago, Take-Two began preparations for an announcement regarding the Mafia series. It's hard for me to determine the time frame, but with Judas, I've seen them gearing up for a new trailer about 3 to 4 weeks before it dropped. So soon." FYI, I specifically wrote an announcement regarding the Mafia series because I don't know if it's an announcement of Mafia 4, the next-gen update for Mafia Trilogy, or something else. When I find out more, I'll let you know. We know that they're working on a fourth game. We know that they've been working on it for a while. They confirmed it back in 2022. And back in 2022, they actually, in early 2022, had a cancellation of another project they were working on that was supposed to be sort of a sci-fi game that they framed as, like, what did they say? They called it, like, Cthulhu meets Saints Row. I don't know what that even means, but it was canceled.
I think it was, like, had, like, superheroes and, like, PvP as well. I think it was...
When they canceled it, they laid off, like, 50, 60 people, including one the studio founders left. So it seems like a lot of people were not thrilled that it was canceled within the studio, but the core team seems to have just moved right from Mafia Definitive Edition over to Mafia 4. And if that's what they're working on, that's awesome. It's rumored to be a prequel to the original trilogy, which I'm all in
for. Yeah, but do you think that is what this is? Because, again, like you said, that other project, I think it was canceled. I did some research for my weekly gaming news video, like... in November 2021, that's when we heard the news that they were writing off $53 million. Mm-hmm. So they put a lot of money in it before they canceled it. And then in May, I think we had Kotaku reporting about the new Mafia game. And then in August 2022, they announced it themselves. So if they started in early 2022 and they're only like 2 years into it, I just don't know if you then want to already announce it. Although, a Judas was also announced way before, but I don't know what the benefit would be to announce it already. I think maybe like doing a similar to the first game, like a remake for Mafia 2, might be like a thing they can actually drop this year.
Yeah, they might be doing something like that. There's been rumors of the Mafia trilogy being remastered and dropped as a full package. That would be something.
They already did that though, right? They already had that around the definitive edition.
Yeah, they have the full package remastered. Yeah. So I don't know if it's like reworked in any more significant way, but I agree. It's like, it's pretty early. I would still imagine they're like 2-3 years out from being done with it, unless it's significantly smaller in scale and they're going for more of a Mafia Definitive Edition scale project than a Mafia 3, which
maybe
okay
that
with.
Makes sense with Take-Two, of course, also owning GTA. Like, you don't want to have a similar open world type game around that.
And that might have been what they learned with Mafia 3 is they're like, it's just not. It's not going to be easy to pull off. And even then, if it's good, people are just going to be like, yeah, but it's not as good as Grand Theft Auto 6, which is about to drop or just dropped.
Yeah.
So just don't bother. Like, if you can't win the fight, don't go in the ring.
And they need a win, Hangar 13, because they had Mafia 3. That was like their big game of 2016 is when that came out. And after that, they have not launched anything since, like, apart from that Definitive Edition, of course. So, which did, I think, pretty well. And it was like a pretty good remake, even though it launched on PS4, Xbox One, when the new consoles were already close to being out.
But it was a looker, was still, even considering that.
Yeah.
So I would love to see something. If it is just a remake or remaster, it'll be like, okay, well, as long as they're still working on the franchise. I love the Mafia franchise. I think it strikes a good balance of adventure gameplay, also in a very unique setting we don't get very often. And Definitive Edition was very impressive to me, so I'm excited to see what that team is capable of doing moving forward. So I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
For sure.
Then
we real quick had the I'm not sure if you saw this, but the Ghost of Tsushima will add a PlayStation trophy support. Wait, I'm gonna give you a better link for that. So for one, of course, the PC version is releasing on May 16th, and they have crossplay, so that's pretty cool. If you want to do the Legends multiplayer, you can play with people on PlayStation. And they're also for the first time doing an overlay on PC. So if you with the keyboard press Shift and F1, then you will like have this layout appear. If you want to play the Legends multiplayer, you also have to sign in with the PSN account, and basically in this overlay, it's kind of similar to, for example, a Battle.net, where you can see your friends, what they are playing, if they're playing on PlayStation or PC. You can earn trophies with the PC version of Ghost of Tsushima. It is the same list as the PS5 trophies. So if you already unlocked a few, they can, like, on the PC version, unlock the leftover ones. There's no cross-save yet, though. Like, that seems to be, hopefully, the next step they want to do. But, yeah, this does... I did want to quickly, like, mention it. It once again shows you how Sony, like, they're getting more and more serious about their PC things. And I had this sort of weird thought, maybe, because at one point, I do think, like, especially now with how good Helldivers is doing, Sony wants to move to the closer launch, maybe day one, for some PS5 single-player games as well. What if they're launching, like, their own studio, like a PlayStation store on PC, and that is the only place where you can get those games day one, and then they will come later to Steam? What do you think about that? So then Sony still gets 100% of the money.
It wouldn't surprise me. It could be a mess, just because, as we've learned from every other publisher 100%. Trying to do it, it's not easy to build a launcher. Unfortunately, it wouldn't surprise me, because I mean, when you factor in a million copies of these games and they're losing 30% to Steam, and they're like, but we could have 100% if we did it ourselves. I'm sure it gets tempting. And with the current interim CEO being obsessed with margins, I'm sure he's very interested in that. So that would not shock me at all.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, if they can pull it off, it might be interesting, and I'm curious if a lot of people will then jump over to that platform, or maybe they can still launch on Steam, but have like extra incentives for people to play on the PlayStation Store.
Maybe what they do is it's like only cross save on their platform if you play through the PlayStation launcher or something. But like, I don't, people would get pissed. People would freak out about it.
Yeah,
certainly. But I don't think that that would stop them.
Certainly not.
Cry me a river. Let me dab my eyes with $100 bills. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, that might be for Sony because, again, the proposition of launching these games day one on PC is the fact that they are losing 30% to Steam, and also they're afraid that people will then stop buying consoles. So maybe to be like, okay, how can we still get the most out of it is through our own launcher. But I think also the reason that Helldivers is blowing up is also like Steam has a part, like, because it's available on a very easy platform. So that's I think where a lot of people or a lot of companies like Ubisoft, EA, that all tried their own launcher that then all went back to Steam, kind of realized that, yeah, it's more than just playing on your computer. Like, people really love Steam, and
yeah,
it's
boosting. Well, Mr. B brings up a great question in chat. If the library would carry over, that would be convincing, so that you don't have to double dip. If they were to do that, where like you buy it on PlayStation, and then if you have the PlayStation launcher, you can play it on PC as well, that would be very compelling. But I can't imagine they do that. Because I think the whole point of dropping it on PC is to sell you a second copy or to introduce it to a new audience.
Yeah, especially the new audience part. I don't see why people would. I think it's a very small percentage that would play it on both platforms and actually, yeah, like that. Actually, crossplay between. I mean, Xbox does it as well, so it's. But I'm not sure who. Yeah, uses that. Like, if you have a console next to your TV. Or that is probably close to your computer, then why switch between that? Maybe because someone else in the house is using the TV or something.
That, but again, or higher fidelity if you got a powerful PC and you're able to crank it or something.
Yeah, but why then not just buy the PC version? Like, why would getting it also on console be an incentive for
you? So you can use your PlayStation Portal.
Oh, that's yeah. Okay, that's yeah, good. Yeah. That's a good one.
But I don't know. I think it's no mystery that they are starting to put a lot of chips on the PC board. They're trying to double down there, and there's a lot of potential there that they see. I think a launcher is probably the most like clear way that they could increase margins, make even more money. But I think they'd burn a lot of goodwill doing that. I don't think they'd care that much as long as they're making their full extra 30%. But yeah, time will tell. I think that would be poorly received, but time will tell.
For sure. We will follow it. And I'm excited to jump back into Ghost and then probably have the reveal for the second game.
Yeah.
Again, like, it's looking more and more likely that we get Ghost 2 reveal before Assassin's Creed, which is crazy. But we will see. Ubisoft is doing their investor call on May 15th, so maybe they will do something around that.
Yeah, maybe soon, a little something, something. But time will tell. Well, it's great to have you back, Mr. Joel Raptor.
It's good to be back. Yes, for sure. Let's pick it up again weekly on the Wednesdays. And then we can next week talk about Stellar Blade. Are you going to play?
I am going to play. I'm not reviewing it, at least not currently. But I do plan on checking it out. So nice. We'll do that. It's going to be
cool.
It's going to be a funny episode, I'm sure. So buckle up for that, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We love you all dearly. As always, reviews on your favorite podcasting platform are greatly appreciated.
Yes.
We appreciate the gosh darn heck out of you guys, and we'll be back with another episode soon. Much love, everyone.
Yes. Thanks for watching. Goodbye.
Bye.